Before we hear from Australian writer Robert Hillman, as you may have heard in the news, the government and Reserve Bank have agreed on new moves to tighten mortgage lending, including tougher loan-to-value ratios, debt-to-income ratios, to cool the housing market. The central bank says it will begin consultation with retail banks later this month, and changes may come in October. With me now is RNZ business editor Giles Beckford. Hi, Giles.
Good morning to you, Lynn.
We've got restrictions in place for how many mortgages banks can write above a high loan-to-value ratio. So what, this is simply further tightening?
I think, let's be blunt right at the beginning, this is a tacit acknowledgement that the moves made to cool the market in February by the government and the Reserve Bank have largely been a failure. And if you look at annual house price growth of 23%, you have to say there's the proof in the pudding. Yes, at the moment, loan-to-value ratios, banks are allowed to lend broadly to low-deposit people. They can have up to 20% of their total lending to people who have got low deposits. The proposal is, and we have to say it's a foregone conclusion unless it's something that really comes out of left field, that it will go to 10%, and that will occur as of October the 1st. The banks, at the moment, that lending ratio is somewhere around 13 to 15% of lending. It fluctuates. Sometimes it can be lower. Some banks engage in slightly more of, or commit to slightly more of their mortgage lending. Quite clearly stated by the Deputy Governor of the Reserve Bank, Jeff Baskand, they're saying, we've already made adjustments to the loan-to-value ratios earlier to manage the risk to the banking system, to the financial system, and we haven't seen a sufficient reduction in risky lending. Their concern, the Reserve Bank's concern, is that banks get overextended, more people are heavily indebted, there's a downturn in the market, we have a significant economic and financial impact, which, you know, just goes right through the economy and has such a deleterious effect that, you know, we could be talking recession, we could be talking, you know, lots of mortgage failures.
Well, that's what happened in the US those years ago, wasn't it?
Those sorts of things have occurred in the past, not to any extent in New Zealand. So they're getting in first to say, that's our concern, the integrity of the financial system. The government's view, of course, is clearly, there are some politics involved here, but there are issues of affordability of housing. 23% annual growth in housing is clearly not a good look. What they've done to date seems to have had little or no effect on that. Tightening the screws, they're doing it for a political and social outcome.
Is it going to work?
We'll wait and see. There have been some signs, perhaps, that certain parts of the market have been slowing. Just a few straws in the wind, shall we say?
But the supply is very small too.
Well, this is what it comes down to. In the end, this doesn't get to the basic question, which is that the demand outpaces the supply. And although we've had record house building, it's still not sufficient in the areas that matter in order to cool the market. So from that point of view, further action needed.
How are the banks going to feel about this? Are they getting used to being told what to do?
Well, it's a regulated industry, and they govern within, they operate within the rules that the government allow. Mortgage lending, undoubtedly, it's a significant earner for them, but they won't be unhappy. They are quite adept at, shall we say, smelling the breeze. For instance, they knew towards the end of last year they were already taking steps to reduce some of their loan-to-value, some of those risky lending, and were imposing higher loan-to-value ratios even before the Reserve Bank and the government moved in March. So from that point of view, yes, it will dent their margins, it will dent their earnings, but you have to say we don't see too many poor banks in this country.
No, not so many. What about debt-to-income restrictions? Because this is being looked at also.
This is the affordability measure. And the way it would work is that me as a banker would ask you, Lynn Freeman, as the borrower, what's your income? And you say, you know, 50...
Careful.
And you say, I'm a public broadcaster, so it's $50,000 a year, including overtime. And I say, how much do you want to borrow? And you say, I want to borrow $500,000. So I say, can you afford, and I'm doing the sums here, can you afford on your income to service that amount of borrowing? That's what the debt-to-income ratio is. In New Zealand, it's been somewhere in the region of 8 or 9. In the Auckland market, it's 10 and above. So 10 times, people borrowing 10 times their income. You have to say that in a housing downturn or when mortgage rates, if mortgage rates were to rise, which they're likely to do, then, of course, the imposition upon you as the borrower becomes even more significant. Hand in hand with the debt-to-income ratios is a thing called interest rate floors. Now, this is basically saying, I apply to you a measure that when you want to borrow from me, I'm checking you to see if you could pay me back if interest rates go to 5% or to 6%.
And that's a real thing now, isn't it?
Even though you may only be borrowing from me at the moment at 2 or 3%. So the banks do this informally already. Right? They're quite, and let's be quite clear about it. This is not something that's alien to them. They do it within their own internal lending models. So they're assessing the credit worthiness, should we say, of each customer who comes in, their ability to service whatever they're going to borrow.
Well, that is less of a theory now, though, isn't it? If the interest rates go up, all the indications are, of course, that the interest rates are going to go up, and that's going to have a huge effect.
Well, yes. I mean, you know, there is clearly an element that this deters first-home buyers. One of the government's riding instructions to the Reserve Bank is in designing debt-to-income ratios, and it's been a long-held desire of the Reserve Bank to have that tool. In designing that that tool, you must design so that it has as little impact as possible on first home buyers. And remember back in February when this was being discussed between Grant Robertson and Adrian Orr, Grant Robertson was quite clear they were wanting any debt to income ratios to be aimed at property investors. We'll wait and see how the fine print works out on that one. You have to work out, of course, what is an appropriate debt-to-income ratio. How do you apply it? You know, can you have one that's uniform for the country? Well, in all likelihood, no, because there are differing incomes, differing house prices, an overheated, expensive market such as Auckland. Obviously, you may say, we may give that a little bit more latitude. But in some regional parts of the country, you would say, well, we can afford to bring it back a wee bit. You know, I think the optimum level that is often cited is somewhere around 5 to 6%, 5 to 6 times, should we say, the income. We'll see if that's what the final figure becomes.
What about the possibility of house prices falling, causing negative equity? Is this also being looked at?
Negative equity is something that is often mentioned but very rarely seen in New Zealand because we've never actually had a major housing collapse. Now, back in Britain 20 or so years ago, when there was a significant fall in house prices, a lot of people, the value of their properties fell below what they owed, which is the negative equity aspect of it. That hasn't happened to any degree in New Zealand. It's always a concern because it goes back to that issue that I was raising before about, you know, if house prices fall, then the ripple effects through the economy and through the financial systems can be quite significant. So from that point of view, it's something that the central bank, the Reserve Bank, will always emphasise, saying we want to protect people as much as possible.
So if we're looking at these coming in, these changes, Giles, on the 1st of October, how quickly should we expect, or the government expect, some kind of indication whether this might succeed where the others really haven't?
Well, it's a bit like the cruise liner. You know, it takes a long time to slow it down and to turn it around. As I say, some of the recent figures have been suggesting that there are some signs that the pace of growth is slowing. I don't think anybody really wants to see any significant fall in prices. We had some of that after the global financial crisis, 2009-10 there. But by and large, the pace of growth slowing would be I think, down, if it went down to below double digits, so below 10% annual growth in house prices, people would say that's a bit of a result. In the end, it's going to be an issue of keep building those houses, because you know, until the supply meets the demand, there'll be no significant, I would think, and no immediate impact on house prices.
We're going to be talking about the growth and building consents actually with our business correspondent after the news at 11. Giles Beckford, RNZ Business Editor, thank you so much.